three.
Yeah.
You don't know? Okay, so every year, Disney has, because Disney owns so many properties that are like geek ephemera, they have their own Comic-Con just for Disney properties. And it's literally every Disney property. So a couple of days ago, all of Phase 4 got announced in detail at D23. And even today, they're announcing a couple more movies. I haven't caught what they were.
So is that where they announced She-Hulk and...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is not like, oh, something leaked. This is Disney standing on top of the highest, most shiny pony that they bring out once a year and going, oh, by the way, you love all this stuff? Guess who's trying to screw with it?
And look, this kind of reinforces an analogy that I came up with in talking to somebody on Facebook Messenger a couple nights ago, where I said that, you know, like we said, this is both companies trying to play public perception to their advantage. Disney is essentially a piano maestro giving the perfect performance.
Yeah.
Where up to this point, Sony is the equivalent of an 8-year-old at their first piano recital trying to play through the flute.
Yeah,
like to this point, Disney has not directly said anything, or at least not that I've come across.
Don't need to.
Sony, the day after the news initially broke, puts out a series of tweets that I'm going to read now. Much of today's news about Spider-Man has mischaracterized recent discussions about Kevin Feige's involvement in the franchise. Kevin Feige's name did not come up in these initial reports, but let's move on. We are disappointed, but respect Disney's decision not to have him continue as a lead producer of our next live-action Spider-Man film. We hope this might change in the future, but understand that the many new responsibilities that Disney has given him, including all their newly added Marvel properties, do not allow time for him to work on IP they do not own. Kevin is terrific, and we are grateful for his help and guidance and appreciate the path he has helped put us on, which we will continue.
The stupidest thing they could have ever done. The stupidest.
Oh, yeah.
The stupid. Because all Disney has to do at this point is just be like, oh, we're letting Kevin go back on it. So, if it doesn't work out, it's your fault.
Yeah, like, there's that. Like, there's the simple fact that you had mentioned Kevin Feige sending them notes for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Which...
And all of his notes were right.
Oh, yeah!
Right?
Oh.
You read it and you go, yeah, that would have been a much better Amazing Spider-Man. And everything, every note he has is something they specifically ignore.
And, this was during, I believe, early Phase 2. So, yeah. Like, Feige's work schedule obviously wouldn't have as much content to deal with as it does now.
And also, Marvel Studios was a little bit of a different animal at that time because they were kind of bouncing back and forth between middling affair, like Thor the Dark World, and stellar affair, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a hit or miss sort of thing. It wasn't until we got to Phase 3 that it started to be far more consistently higher quality content.
Yeah, when disappointment was gauged not in, oh, I didn't like that, but did it make a billion? No? Oh, that's a failure.
Yeah, exactly. And just also the simple fact that you would think that Disney back then particularly would have wanted Feige focused on the Phase 2 properties as much as possible, but he still found time to give them notes for Amazing Spider-Man 2 just because he could.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a single page after watching a film. It's a 3-hour affair out of his entire, you know, like whatever he was working on at the time.
Exactly.
It's not like this is a commitment.
No.
No, and like Feige's role with Homecoming and Far From Home is essentially just making sure everything is connected properly to the rest of the MCU, making sure everybody's like properly characterized, that sort of thing. Like,
which, to be fair, they kind of dropped the ball a little bit a couple times here and there.
Oh, yeah. And like, I'm not saying that the man is perfect. He's close enough, but just the fact that Feige was trying to help out Sony with Amazing Spider-Man, to, like, that alone completely disputes Sony's claim. Mm-hmm. The fact that Disney, let's be honest, has probably got plans up to like phase 8.
At this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
like that disputes Sony's claim.
Yeah.
Because, like, are you seriously going to tell me that they would not have a plan that would still allow Feige to help out with future Spider-Man films?
And this is a company that you know somewhere is like a 100-year plan. And it's like, at the very end of it,
well,
own the moon.
We just got to look back at Phase 3. 2014, Feige goes to Comic-Con and announces the slate of Phase 3.
Yeah.
Then we get. Then we find out that Spider-Man is getting added to the MCU. All of a sudden, that Phase 3 slate gets completely changed over. Ant-Man gets added to the mix, which wasn't there before. Infinity War Parts 1 and 2 becomes Infinity War and Endgame. Inhumans goes over to Marvel Television and gets fucked over.
It dies.
And technically goes to Marvel Television twice. Because like, I mean, you had the Inhumans TV series.
And you had Inhumans in Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
which were obviously not the same thing.
Which was so bizarre. It's like, it's all under Perlmutter.
Ike Perlmutter, yeah.
Ike Perlmutter. He has control over both of these things. Why on earth did he make two different versions of the property he has obsessed about?
Can
since
I
the
introduce 80s? You to Stephen King and Richard Bachman?
That's cocaine. That's cocaine. That's
he took a book that was written by Richard Bachman, who of course is him.
Is him, yeah.
And then rewrote it as Stephen King.
You know who my favorite musician is? It's Chris Gaines, and I'll tell you why.
And but like with the whole Perlmutter thing, I do want to point out, I believe had control.
Yeah. Yes. I don't like Perlmutter's decisions creatively. I really like Kevin Feige's, and I love that Kevin Feige has just slowly chipped away at Perlmutter's control. No, it's mine. No, that's mine too. No, that's mine too. You suck at this. This is mine.
And I think with this whole thing and the possibility of Spidey going completely back to Sony, like you brought up the Sam Raimi films, mm-hmm. which a lot of people who support Sony in this bring up as well.
They canonize, possibly needlessly.
They, like, there's that constant, no, Sony can make successful Spider-Man films. Look at the Sam Raimi movies.
But they could have been better.
Yes.
Like, there's that, but there's one simple thing that everyone keeps overlooking.
Bruce Campbell?
Mm-hmm. Okay, two things. What I was actually going to say is I'm going to pass my iPad around as we put up a graphic in editing. Now, these are the box office totals for each of the Spider-Man films adjusted for inflation. Look at the numbers. Tell me if you see a pattern in the entirely Sony Spider-Man versus the MCU Spider-Man.
That's really curious. I mean, I know that the way that people bring out, like, oh, Spider-Verse, it's the answer to everything. And it's like, but it is the least successful.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The numbers clearly state that the Sony non-MCU Spider-Man films have been less and less successful with each release.
Yeah.
Now, how is this in part because there are so many movies now and there's only so much money and people don't have enough to spend?
No,
or?
It's that people commit to... It's not that people make a choice based on spending what fictional universe they'll pay attention to. It's which one they feel will commit and has more long-term sustainability so that there's more reward. MCU is enormous and has tons of sustainability and reward.
Which is why they're kind of middle of the road right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Raimi...
And these are domestic grosses. These are not... Global growth.
Yeah, those are domestic.
Yeah, now, these are domestic. I can show you the worldwide.
Now
I haven't checked. Is Far From Home still in theater now?
Yes, it is.
It is.
And I've seen reports that Sony was planning a Labor Day re-release to help the movie pass $400 million domestically. Mm-hmm. Could you all stop copying Marvel Studios, please?
I know it's difficult because they are the best.
Like Marvel Studios, when they re-released Endgame, were very open and honest about the fact that, yeah, we've seen that we're close enough to Avatar that we could beat them and become the top grossing film of all time.
Yeah, this is a blatant money grab. Help us grab that money.
And it was also, you know, Captain Marvel's coming out, so maybe who needs a refresher? Who didn't catch it around the first time? So, yeah.
Exactly. And, like, they were honest about it. They had a reason to do it.
And they engaged the audience in a way where, like, Sony engages you in, like, oh, you know, you're a movie audience. Go see this movie. Marvel engages you by going, you're part of this.
Yeah.
We need you. Spider-Man needs you.
Exactly. And with this apparent re-release of Far From Home, there's no clear-cut reason to do it beyond we want more money.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing particularly groundbreaking about it. Even for Sony, it's already made more money than anything they ever released. So there's no point.
And yet, in this discussion, Disney is the evil, money-hungry empire.
Everyone loves to hate the mouse until you realize that all of your childhood memories are tied to him.
There are at least like 120 reasons to hate Disney. None of them apply here.
Here's the interesting thing, though. At the end of the day, is you do still have a movie like Into the Spider-Verse. Which, while maybe not the biggest financial success, was a critical success.
Yeah, it's the only Spider-Man film with an Oscar.
Oh yeah,
So clearly, there are people that have worked with Sony that know what the fuck they're doing, and Sony needs to latch on to those people and hang on for dear life.
Yeah.
Because people like your Lord Millers, they're the people that know this property, know what makes it work, and can help push it forward. I'm curious to see what Andy Serkis does with Venom 2, because I actually like him as a director.
PG Carnage.
Yeah, but Woody Harrelson Carnage.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderfully cast, as I think I said in one of our Venom-related videos.
Yeah.
She disagrees.
And correction, PG-13 Carnage.
I'm so just it's remembering not seeing still. Venom in theater, and I'm not sure I want to go see Venom 2.
Mm. Paul actually does bring up a good point, because that reminds me of something that one of my favorite film critics, Martin Thomas from Double Toasted, had said, I believe, when they did their video reacting to this news, where he basically said, people went to see Venom? This is your fault.
Yeah.
And,
well, here, and here's...
He's the, not entirely wrong.
Here's
In
the,
my
here's
defense, the, I went to go see it for real geeks.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have much of a choice, and obviously
here's the big thing, though, about Venom. Domestically, not that big of a success. The large portion of its box office return is from international receipts, and the large portion of those come specifically from China, because the way that they fucking market that movie in China, it's absolutely insane how they did it, because literally there were billboards on bus stops showing Venom in this cartoony, almost anime sort of style drawing thing, being the perfect boyfriend to these young Chinese girls.
So something out of Zhuan.
Basically.
Or Rangu.
Basically.
That, so it's a completely different thing. Like, it's a completely different film over there. Like, yeah. You know, the film itself is the same, but...
Like, they marketed it in a way that it fit the culture in China.
Yeah.
And it worked. The movie, like, more than half of its overall worldwide gross came from China. I think when they do Venom 2, they're going to lean into that, and they're going to probably build it in a way that is going to maybe tailor a little bit more to the Chinese audience.
Which could, if they continue with that cutesy approach, could really work as a wonderful contrast.
Yeah, and I think that's also part of the reason why they probably got somebody like Andy Serkis. Not just because of his mocap experience and what he can bring to the table for that, but also because he's a relatively well-known name and is beloved by a lot of people worldwide because of things like Lord of the Rings and whatnot. So I think that's going to bring something to the table as well. That being said, Morbius, don't even get me started.
Yeah.
But if we do, and this is the interesting question, if we do ultimately get a third Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland, done by Sony, that is not associated with the MCU whatsoever, they're not saying it will be successful. There is potential, though. And I can see it in the way that they ended the film, Far From Home.
For the people who are saying, yeah, no, just let Sony have Spider-Man, let them do what they want with it, I want you to consider who you're giving control of this character to. First is Avi Arad, who is essentially, at this point, I believe, the head of Sony Pictures, and is the guy who sold off all these characters and created this whole mess in the first place.
Plus created the 1996 bankruptcy fiasco at Marvel.
And the other name to consider is Tom Rothman, who is the creative head of Sony Pictures. Now, Tom Rothman, before he took over for Amy Pascal, worked at Fox Studios. Mm-hmm. You know what he's famous for? Sewing Deadpool's mouth shut.
Oh, God, that was a horrible movie. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a horrible, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the movie.
It had a great opening credit sequence.
I like the movie. I just didn't like him.
The movie should have
been. I didn't like
just
the Ryan Reynolds credits.
Yeah, it should have been. And yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So at the end of the day, remember, that's who you're giving this movie to. That's who you're giving this property to. If that still sounds like a good idea to you, we are never going to agree, ever, but you do you. I mean, like I said, I don't want to like truly influence people one way or the other here.
But
I just want to go, like, this is everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. Now form your opinion.
There is a right answer and a wrong one.
But final thoughts from everybody else?
I think that within a month, this is going to be pointless minutiae that is forgotten. Disney's going to win because it's Disney.
Something's going to happen tomorrow to change things.
Yeah.
Or Trump will do another tweet.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he weighs in.
Honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that we were doing this whole thing today, I was starting to forget about it. And I was just more excited about all the stuff coming out of D23.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting Moon Knight, for God's sake. Ah!
Everything they touch is wonderful. What is it? I read earlier that WandaVision is going to be half like a 50s sitcom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back the assistant character from the first two Thor movies.
Yes.
Played by that lady.
Kat Dennings.
Kat Dennings. I love her. I love that character. That's going to be
great. And they're also bringing back the guy. Randall Park. The FBI guy from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. So it's just two wonderful little side characters that, like, we're at a point with the MCU where they can be like, hey, you want to get really excited? Here's these two side characters you probably haven't thought about. Isn't that cool? And everyone goes, yeah, it is, actually.
So, yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, like, y'all know where I stand, y'all know where they stand. Feel free to feel or think whatever you want here. Just think beyond the clickbait headlines. At the end of the day, that's all I ask.